Well, I count it a privilege this morning to be able to share the gospel. And I desire your prayers. I carry a desire this morning that we be alive Christians. Alive Christians. Christians that have fire burning in our hearts. Christians that have more on hand than just a form. Christians that are filled with Holy Spirit power. Christians with purpose. I desire that we be lively stones for Jesus Christ. I don't want to just take up space, but I want to be able to go through life. And I want to have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of my heart in a way that inspires my actions, inspires my thoughts, causes me to want to draw closer to Jesus Christ, causes me to want to be a light to the world. And I want to be able to live righteous, a righteous life, that accurately reflects who Jesus Christ is. But I feel like this morning, we are at war. We are at war with ourselves. We are at war with the enemy of our souls. We are at war with the spirits that have been let loose in the world that are out to steal, to kill, and destroy the life. The spiritual life that we have that God wants to give us, even the very elect, those that have come to know Jesus Christ, those that have an experience with God, the enemy is after our life. He is after our fire. He would like us to be dead wood in the church. He'd like us to be dead Christians without life. He would like us to go through life without Holy Spirit power, without the indwelling Spirit of His Spirit. And I'm concerned about that today, and my burden this morning, because of that, is to preach a message on the subject of wells without water. So much in the world, so much that is right, is being called wrong in the world around us. So much that is wrong is being called right. And the voices that are declaring such are loud. And they're many. And they surround us. You don't have to go look for it. You don't have to say, I'm going to go seek out voices that declare something that is different from what I hear in service. They come to you. They surround us. And because we are battling an enemy that is after our souls, I am inspired and burdened today to bring this cautionary message. And I don't want it to be a discouraging message. The gospel brings encouragement with it, even when it warns us of things. The intent is to keep the joy flowing from heaven into our souls, because that's what Jesus Christ wants. He wants us to be happy. He doesn't want us to be drawing from wells that are empty and end up being dissatisfied. And so I want to caution us today about those wells that have no water. And I'd like to start in 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, and the 17th verse. And I'm not going to read all of this because there's too much to read this morning with the time that we have. But this passage is talking about and warning about false teachers. You know what a teacher is? A teacher is somebody who goes out of their way to instruct somebody else. We often don't teach ourselves except through experiences. We learn that way, and we can teach ourselves through self-instruction. But a teacher is generally referred to as somebody who takes an active role in teaching somebody else something. And this passage is talking about false teachers and false influences that accompany false teachers and influences that are out in the world, not false influence, influences that would lead us into a direction that is contrary to truth. And so this scripture says in the 17th verse, these are wells without water. Speaking of false teachers, speaking of influences that would lead us contrary to the way that Christ brought, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error, while they promise them liberty. Listen to these scriptures. While they promise them liberty. He's talking about false teachers, influences that would take us in the wrong way. While they promise those that they are teaching liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. So this passage is providing a stark and a clear warning against false teachers, influences that would present a way of living that would seem to offer, liberty and freedom. However, in the process, drag people right back into the bondage that they had been delivered from. And I'd like to set a little bit of foundation for this morning. I believe that it is the reason why in the fifth chapter of Galatians and the first verse, Paul said and exhorted us to stand fast. Stand fast. Be strong. Don't be moved from the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. And be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. It said, stand fast in what liberty? Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. It was talking about the liberty that Christ brought. He wasn't talking about a lawless liberty, an unrestrained liberty, an uncontrolled liberty. But Paul was speaking of a controlled liberty and freedom. Of a liberty that came with laws. A liberty that had boundaries. The liberty that Christ brought us. Not all of these other kinds of liberties. Later in the scripture, in the passage, he talks about, and he said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only don't use that liberty as an occasion for your flesh. You don't hear that very much in the world, do you? They like to talk about liberty, but the scriptures say, don't use the liberty as an occasion to your flesh, but rather stand fast in the liberty, not that you came up with, Not the liberty that would seem to suit me in how I would feel most free living my life, but stand fast, be unmoved in the liberty that came by Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord has a desire this morning to protect us from that which would harm us. The Lord loves us. Jesus Christ would not have come and died on the cross. And we can say that quickly. Oh, Jesus died on the cross. That was a painful, horrible, horrific experience that Jesus went through. Study it. Research what crucifixion was all about. I can't imagine getting through the whipping that he endured before he ever got to the cross. Terrible. But Jesus Christ did that because he loved us. Because He wanted to protect us from those things that were out in the world that would put us in bondage and hurt us and cause us death. And so Jesus, in His love, in His care, in His compassion, when He didn't have to, He came down from His place in heaven and He gave Himself to make provision that we could be saved through Him. And He wanted to show us how to be disciples. Oh, if you'll follow me, if you'll obey my word and my teaching, I want to show you a way of life that will lead you to heavenly places. That was His intent. The Lord has a desire to protect us from that which would harm us. And so our freedom and our liberty comes from the consequences that are associated with following Jesus Christ and obeying His Word, being filled with His Spirit and allowing His Spirit to lead and to guide us in all things. Otherwise, what happens is we can be drawn in to being convinced with good sounding words that somehow it's no longer necessary to take on godly standards and safeguards in our life, and would cause us to think that real liberty comes from just living what suits me. That's false. That is not where it's at. It's not the answer. Doing it my way has never been the answer, and it won't be yours either. Young people this morning, if you want liberty, if you want freedom, if you want to experience life, get in touch with the One who is life. Get in touch with the One that created the heavens and the earth. Get in touch with the One that designed the whole plan of salvation, that we could actually be saved from that which would hurt us and experience the joys that flow from heaven. Does it involve some standards and some safeguards and some self-denial? Yes. Have you ever been to the zoo? Are you glad? Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I don't like fences. I'm not one on having restraints and barriers between me and other things. Let me tell you something. When I'm at the zoo, I'm glad for fences. How about you? You ever been through those drive-through, what do they call them? The drive-through parks? And there's wild animals out there, and they say you need to keep your doors closed and your windows up. And I'm glad for child locks, so that I can hit the child lock so that if somebody's in the back without enough wisdom, they don't open the door and get consumed. I'm happy for fences in those situations. I'd like to be able to eat my hot dog in peace if I'm wandering around the zoo and I have a grandchild in tow. I'd like to be able to feel the liberty and feel the freedom of being able to, in a relaxed manner, look up at the blue sky, look at the water, look at my grandchild, mosey over to a water attraction, and not worry about the lion coming out of its cage and getting me. I'm happy for those fences. I'm happy for those barriers. Glad that they're there. Aren't you? What makes us think that out in the world, that there's not a need for having some barriers between us and those things that would hurt us? There's a good reason for putting in practice standards and safeguards as responsible Christians, where we recognize, you know what, there's a lion right over there down that street, and you turn the corner and you go down just a little bit more, and that's a bad place down there, and things can happen. You know, it's probably a good place to stay away from. If it's not a place that's conducive to Christian living, probably a good place to stay away from. It was never intended that we worship the fence. I don't worship the fence at the zoo, but I value the protection that it provides me from that would do my body harm. And in the end, I want my heart right before God, don't you? That's what's most important. The man looks on the outside, but the Lord looks on the heart. I want to make sure that when all is said and done, that my heart is right. And the Scriptures teach over and over our own responsibility to keep ourselves pure. The Scripture says, keep yourself pure. Flee temptation. Separate yourself from those things. Those are responsibilities that I have. God isn't going to do all those things for us. If I'm going to follow Him, I'm going to necessarily say, well, these are things I'm not interested in because they can do me harm. And I'm interested most in having my heart right. And yet, I want to warn you this morning, as Peter warned the Christians in Asia Minor here, beware of those that would present a religious teaching that tickles the ears. That lifts up your emotions, as the Scripture here said, with great swelling words. That appeals to the desire of our flesh. That seemingly puts us in a place that is right with God, and yet removes the need for undesirable practices that I really don't want to institute in my life. But we hear that. That's what we hear around us in the world today. And I don't want to get caught up in it. Because when you begin to look into so much of what's promoted, and you dig into it very deep, you find out that it allows for and indeed promotes many of the very things that the Scriptures say that we are to stay away from. The Scripture simply says in the 14th chapter of John in the 6th verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We, saints, we are not going to be able to come to the Father. We are not going to be able to meet the Lord in peace. We're not going to find salvation and freedom and liberty through anyone else but Jesus Christ. Not through a charismatic speaker. Not through a minister that has really good sounding, convincing words. Not through the priest or the pope. Not through your favorite podcast of people that just seems like they nail it every time, and people can begin to give themselves to this steady diet of these people that just seem to have everything put together. No matter how good it sounds, no matter how religious, no matter how pious, no matter how much it seems like everything is connected together and comes together, we are only going to find salvation through a steady diet of giving our heart to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how many are following behind these people either, folks. Be willing to stand alone if you have to stand alone. People can get so caught up with the latest thing. And people that are gifted at communication, are gifted at moving the emotions of other people. Those that are gifted at those things have a way of getting many followers and getting people to buy into whatever it is they're promoting. Beware of that. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Turn your eyes to the Word of God. It's going to mean everything. And to use a word this morning that seems like is used so much in the world and society today, Jesus Christ is not looking for woke Christians. Jesus Christ is not looking for woke Christians who believe that somehow they have been enlightened to somehow understand what the authors of the Scriptures really meant to say. This is what they really meant to say. They just didn't understand the real truth back when they wrote it. But now we have been enlightened so that we now understand what the Scriptures should have said, what the author really meant, when really it's in direct contradiction to what the Word of God does say over and over all throughout the Scriptures. Jesus Christ is looking for a people. He is looking for Christians that are awake. Not woke, but are awake. Yes, awake to the unchanging Word of God. And willing to follow it as it's written. Established. God wants us to be established Christians who are awake to the influences that are coming against us, that would move us in a way that is farther away from this truth that we have learned from the Holy Scriptures. This truth is established by Jesus Christ for our good, not for our bondage. The enemy would like us to feel like somehow that, well, living the life of a Christian and according to the Scriptures, it just puts you in bondage. And young people, if you live this way, well, you can just, your life, I mean, all the fun just goes away, and it's just a straight-laced way. It's a second-class way to live. You get second best. Oh, you're one of the Christian people who don't take full advantage of your life. And you dress this way, and you have to avoid going here, and you can't do this, and you have to abstain from this. Thank the Lord for some of those fences and for some of those gates. I don't want to have anything to do with those things that look so nice and kind. You know, a tiger can look really cute. They can just position themselves and look like the most harmless animals you ever saw. But there was a lady one time that climbed out of her car in one of those drive-through safaris, and it just looked really innocent out there. And she got out, opened up the barrier, got out of her car, and before she knew it, that thing was on her and she was gone, and she was lost. Things in the world today, the way that the Spirit presents what is available out there, presents it as so harmless and fun and satisfying. And there's no need for having all these, being so careful. We don't need to be so careful. It's just a heart issue. You're right. It is a heart issue. Protect your heart. And we have a responsibility of protecting our heart. We have a responsibility as Christians to be careful that the things that we allow in our lives, that we're thinking about, Lord, how can I keep my heart where You're pleased with it? Lord, I want to stay humble before You. Lord, I want to be a servant of God and not a servant of myself. Lord, I want to accurately reflect who You are to the world. Lord, I want to let my light shine so that when others see my life, maybe I can help somebody that's lost and undone and hurting and in need and feels hopelessness in their lives. Lord, help me to live so that I can feel the place in Your body that maybe Your love can be shown through my life to other people, where it's not all about me, but it's about reaching those that are hurting. And those that are lost, may God help us today. But that's not what's presented. What's presented is it's your life. Do it your way. Do it how you want to do it. Whatever makes you happy. Don't need all these other things that you need to worry about. Learn from your own mistakes. Well, I learned from my mistakes. I've made a lot of mistakes. There's some mistakes I don't want to have to learn from. Why would I want my little child to walk out into the middle of the road and get hit and get killed so that they could learn not to walk out in the middle of the road? They're not there anymore. Or maimed for life. There's some things we don't need to learn by ourselves through just blindly going out there and saying, live, let live. If it happens, well, that's just how you learn. That's foolishness to have that attitude. May God help us to be responsible and to ask the Lord to give us wisdom And when we see that there's potential danger, and maybe somebody's been down that road before, and they say, hey, there's danger down that road, be careful. Here's what it looks like. Then let's be careful. I remember when the Lord said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. You remember that? Listen to Him. This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. And I want to encourage everyone here this morning, search out the Scriptures. Get to know them for yourself. When I was listening to the verses this morning, it just did my heart good. We had so many children this morning in Sunday school, and then one by one they were going through and saying all their verses, and I just hope those verses, they can take root in those little hearts. They can be seeds that get planted. And if they learn them while they're young, they can go with them through life and help avoid so much unnecessary heartache. Search out the Scriptures to all of us today. Entreat the Holy Spirit to come into your heart and into your life. Listen for His voice. Ask Him to speak to you. Increase your diet of fellowship with godly people and godly things. The world is increasing the food that it presents before us to consume. It's being pushed onto our plate. Be okay with pushing it back off of the plate. And be good with inviting the Lord to take up maybe some more space than what you have before had on your plate. This means everything. This is life. This is life and death, folks. We live in a time where the enemy presents himself in sheep's clothing with a desire to deceive the very elect. Do you remember what Jesus, wasn't it Jesus that gave the parable where he went through and at the very end he says, but will he find faith on the earth when he returns? What? Why wouldn't the Lord find faith? There's Christians, there's people that still know about the Lord. Why would there even be a question about would he find faith? The enemy is out to present himself as right and good to deceive the very elect. And the result is that people by the masses, people that maybe one time were Christians, are finding themselves not at liberty, not with freedom, not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, not happy, but in trouble. Blind, following the blind to a place that ends in spiritual death. And so Peter described it this way. These types of influences, the people that would promote these sorts of things to just let go and live. You can still be a Christian. It's just God saved us with His, Jesus saved us with His blood, and you can just live and confess your sins and accept His forgiveness, and then away you go and live and let live. Peter described it this way. These are wells without water. Wells without water. Clouds that are carried with a tempest. Clouds that are carried with the tempest. These false teachers, false ideas, false promotions are like clouds that are carried with a tempest. They're passing. You can't count on them. They're not stable. They don't offer you water when you need water. They're carried with a tempest. You need water and you look up and you say, well, there's a cloud. And then the next thing you know, it's carried away and it's gone. And there's no water there for you. Carried the promise of water. But they're like clouds carried with a tempest. And it said that they are reserved for the mist of darkness. They're changing, they're unstable, they don't provide you what you need to be provided with, and they are reserved for the mist of darkness. And then he said they are wells without water. Do you know a well is supposed to have water? Isn't it? Isn't that why you dig a well? If you sell a house, you say, are you on city water or well water? Well, I'm on well water. Well, can I take a look at your well? Sure. You walk out there and you say, well, how much water does this produce? Well, it doesn't. What do you mean it doesn't? Isn't this your well? Yeah. You're not on city water? No. But it doesn't produce? No. What good's a well if it doesn't produce water? A well's supposed to produce water. A factory's supposed to produce things. It always makes me sad. I've worked in manufacturing a long time, and you go by and you see these big buildings that are empty and vacant and have been sitting there, and there's nothing in it. Factories are supposed to make things. Fruit trees are supposed to bear fruit. You drive by a big orchard where somebody spent all this time and there's all these trees, and you say, well, what do these trees bear? Well, nothing. Nothing. I thought that's the whole reason why it was here. It was supposed to bear something. Riverbeds, you want to see water in a riverbed, don't you? Have you ever seen riverbeds that are all dried up? You like to see water in a riverbed. And so much of what is offered today is like a well without water. It presents itself as a well. But then when you look into it, it just results in disappointment. And it doesn't give you what you thought you were going to get. Why? Because it has no water in it. Jesus is the one that brought the water of life. I want to seek after that water. I want to spend my time positioning myself where I can hear Jesus Christ's voice. It's hard to hear the Lord's voice if you willingly go into spaces. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we could spend a long time detailing specific things that the world has out there where I'm pretty certain most of the time God is not sanctioning that activity. Why would we think that if that's where we spend our lives, that that's where we're going to hear the voice of the Lord? I want to know what Jesus Christ has to say to me. I want to search out the Scriptures and have my eyes opened to the water that I know will satisfy. And there aren't shortcuts. There's some fences. There's some barriers, but they're for our protection this morning. And if you go outside of the protection of God's Word, if you begin to wander out with your own reasoning and you want to try things out on your own, you're treading in very dangerous territory. Before I close, I want to read this 18th verse again. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, listen, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Those that at one time may have understood the gospel of Christ. There are influences out there that would come in and allure us away where we were at one time clean, but we started listening to all of these voices that sounded so good and reasonable and got away from the word of the Lord. May God help that not ever to be the case with anyone here this morning. Let's have our eyes opened. Let's recognize clouds that are being carried with tempests that may carry the promise of rain. I don't want to give a lot of my time to that. Let's be able to recognize the wells that are without water. Let's avoid those that would teach a doctrine that doesn't embrace the whole truth. That's one of the most dangerous things out there, are people that present 95% of the truth, but then there's 5% that they want to reserve to themselves and leave that portion on the table. Do you remember the Passover? The Passover lamb? The Passover lamb was intended to be 100% consumed. Completely partaken of. I don't want to leave any part of Jesus Christ on the table today. This morning, let's seek the river of life through Jesus. Let's lift up our eyes to the one that has life. And beware of those things and those influences that would pull us away. The Lord doesn't want us to be, He doesn't want people that have given their hearts completely over to Him to be deceived. He is there to protect us, to help us, to give us joy, to lead us to heavenly places. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.